Hey, good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church in Menominee. Each week, we come together here on the web or live locally on 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead pastor here at Believer City Church, and I want to thank you for being with us. Following this radio show, we have multiple small groups scattered about in Dunn County and even beyond so that you might have an opportunity to discuss, to enter into a dialogue concerning our text this week, which is 1 Timothy chapter 3. We believe that a church should be more than sitting in a pew on an occasional Sunday and listening to a pastor monologue. So if you're interested in being a part of one of these gatherings in the future, give us a call here at Believer City Church. We'll point you in the right direction. You don't need to be a part of this church fellowship on Sundays at all to be a part of our Wednesday evening discussions. Just simply have a thirst for the scriptures and a desire to participate in a healthy discussion. Hey, let's take a minute to seek the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump into a little bit of rewind of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Father, it's always good to be engaged with my brothers and sisters, whether they're in the backyard or whether they're on the other side of this planet. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and the technology that we have here to do just that. Thank you for blessing us as a church, allowing us to engage in the community at large, to be a part of your mission. We don't deserve that, Lord, and we know you certainly don't need us, but you allow it so that we would have the blessing of being a part of you. You are a perfect Father. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your family and one of your kids, and we praise your name. Amen.
Well, it's like one guy said, only a fool would take this job, and I think I'm qualified. But obviously the qualifications are the internal calling that the Lord calls you, and external calling that the Lord by His Spirit not only has called you personally and internally, but the Lord by His Spirit has called you externally through His church. What are they to look for? Well, the qualifications are laid out for an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notably, 15 of them deal with character and conduct. 1 Timothy 3, 2 and 3 look at the pastor's and elder's personal conduct, then his family conduct, then his church conduct, and then his community witness and conduct. So he is to be above reproach. And that does not mean perfect. It means an obvious example of the rule and reign of God's grace, having brought him to a certain level of maturity that manifests the presence of God's wisdom, not just knowledge and understanding, but wisdom, which is shown in the fruit of one's behavior in life. Jesus says, you shall know wisdom and how by her children, her fruit, the fruit of her of our behavior. So I think that's what you're looking for. Now, specifically, the pastor must be gifted to preach and teach and want to preach and teach. Now, let me be a little bit definitive. Not just preach the Bible, but must want to preach the Bible to God's people. Some preachers are people-oriented, some are Bible-oriented, some are preaching-oriented. The true call is one called to preach the Bible to God's people, and bring the charge of love from a good conscience and a sincere faith, and sincere faith and a pursuit of righteousness and holiness. That's what God calls the pastor to do. So, secondly, he needs to have some leadership gifts, so that he is able to lead God's people. He's a shepherd of the flock. He's not a rancher. You don't get behind the herd and drive it. You get in front of the flock and you lead it. And the sheep know the Lord's voice through you. And they follow the Lord through you, the under shepherd, as they serve the chief shepherd. So I think you're looking at someone who in word and deed is manifesting the maturity of the Holy Spirit, is tested in terms of their spiritual gifts as well as their spirituality. Where are they in their walk with the Lord? But ultimately, Spurgeon was right. If you're called of the Lord, there's nothing else you can do. If there's anything else you can do, go do it. Because when you're called, you don't go into the ministry to be fulfilled. If you do, you won't stay. You go into the ministry to fulfill the ministry. You don't go in to get filled up. You go to pour yourself out as a drink offering all the way to the end.
The Apostle Paul, writing to this young pastor Timothy in this letter, seems to be writing in a familiarity and a relationship that seems to speak to the fact that he no doubt never meant this letter to be for mass consumption. However, it is clear that God had other ideas for what was being written, and what is being taught in this letter is certainly a benefit to all of us, no matter what side of the aisle you hail from, no matter whether you are in a pastoral position or in a church community that has such pastoral leaders. Everyone needs to know just what the biblical standards are for holding that badge. More so, I think, even in our age, wherein the greater church has, on a vast degree, seemingly lost their way on this issue. It seems that they have rewritten the qualifications and the standards to fit their ever-fluid religious culture. But may we be reminded that Paul spoke with the authority and the guidance of our God, a God who, he says, never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord's and I do not change. And that he never changes his mind. Numbers 23:19, God is not human, so he does not change his mind. So if we seek to stand in true and faithful Christianity today, we can take to the bank, then God is certainly not going to suddenly now in the 21st century begin to sing another tune. He left us explicit instructions in Scripture of what a leader, pastor, elder, deacon, etc. should look like. Now, the pastoral capabilities and the competencies that the world seeks today, once again, are certainly different than those that Christ sought and that Paul required. Our resume today, if you will, is more apt to lean in on education and maybe some letters after our names. You know, recently I saw an advertisement for a small town church nearby us here looking for a pastor, and the requirements listed were far from what we find here in this instructional letter from Paul to Timothy. The first thing that church was seeking was a high educational degree, a master's or a doctorate in theology. And I found that pretty amusing, as it seemed to me that such a degree was, in fact, pretty much the last thing that a rural Midwestern church was in need of, especially that rural Midwestern church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 describes such a man in a far more basic and down-to-earth form. It says there that man is to be a guy who watches over the souls of those he has been given to care for. A man who will one day give account for how well he served in that capacity. And then we find in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul was instructing those leaders there to guard themselves and God's people to feed and to shepherd God's flock. That's a far more simplistic, not easier, but more simplistic design and concept of what a man of God should be. Yet these issues, if they exist at all, tend to represent the far end of the job description as we so readily find today. Often the positions and the titles we seek kind of make us look like a pack of dogs all gathered around in competition around the same fire hydrant. Paul herein gives a list of characteristics and priorities and abilities that in fact should make up the man of God. Whether it be a pastoral position or in terms of an elder or a deacon, for the standard is effectively the same. And certainly spiritually it is. It begins with a very real and passionate desire to serve the Lord, to work for the King, and to serve and bless others. Now, as we said on Sunday, if you are with us, if you can do anything else, you need to go and do that. Because only a compelling mandate upon a person's soul is going to suffice stepping up to that position. Too many, in fact, are serving today in that capacity with little or no drive and no commitment to that calling. And those guys will eventually throw in the towel, and I've certainly seen many who did. Because frankly, that job, this job, is just too hard. So thus, unless you understand your position of slave to the King, I promise you, you will one day play your last hand and pack it in. Too many see it as a job, I guess, a position of employment, a paycheck, wherein, you know, they'll one day retire. Well, let me ask you, how do you retire from a calling? And where does it say we get to do that? It is a good work, as verse 1 of chapter 3 says. But it doesn't say that it's a good thing to desire the income or the title or the clout. It says it's good work. And because serving in the capacity that Paul speaks of in this passage today is indeed work. Hard and frankly, often thankless work. Such a man must find his peace and find his fulfillment in the fact that he serves the King with no guarantee of any earthly success and certainly no guarantee of pat on the back. Paul's list of attributes of his pastoral and elder job description, if you will, says a man, first of all, must be blameless, meaning beyond accusation, wherein no one can legitimately rebuke him or make charges against him that will stick. He goes on and says that he must be a man of one wife, and therefore have never had another that was separated from him without biblical merit. It says that we must be that he must be temperate, and that speaks of the attributes of a person being serious and steady, the qualities of attentive and vigilant and discerning. It says he must be sober, and that speaks of a sound mind, one of self-control. He says we must have good behavior, and I guess that would be self-explanatory. He says he must be committed to hospitality, that he must be a people person. It says that he must be able to teach, not a drunkard, not a violent guy, or one who covets another guy. He must be a man who is in control of his home. Again, that doesn't mean being a dictator or a thug. We talked about that, but actually a leader. It says that that guy's wife must be supportive and godly, his kids under control and obedient. that he must not be a newbie to the faith, that he must have a good street cred outside of the faith. You see, a list of qualities for a deacon, Paul goes on, are quite similar. There's a couple of small caveats here. A deacon, he lists here, must not be a liar or a gossip. Well, I will hope that would also be an attribute of an elder. But he says that an elder must be able to teach, but he doesn't give that attribute to a deacon. So, here we have, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a nice, neat, and tidy list of qualities that must mark a leader in the church. I wonder, however, this evening, how many of us see this list as creating a two-tiered faith? You know what I mean? I mean a bar for the leaders and, you know, an easier one for the non-leaders. But I'm here to remind you tonight, just as I spoke on Sunday, that all of this passage is in no way intended to be an out for those of us who are not called to be a pastor, deacon, or elder. Because it is imperative that we remember that all of us are called to be a servant. All of us are called to be a minister. And we're called to do so in a local church community. No one gets pass on that. I'll challenge anybody on this. No one gets to stand down. And you know what? If you do, well, you're going to be hard-pressed to defend a stance, that you are passionately in love. It's going to be hard for you to defend that you're radically reborn in the image of Christ, that you're filled with the very Spirit of God Himself, when you can't get up and move on His behalf. You're going to have a hard time defending that you're filled with the very Spirit of God Himself. And I know you're going to be hard to defend the fact that you're being biblically obedient if you don't belong to a local church and participate in a local church, because the Bible expressly and emphatically tells us that you need to be. That's like saying, you know, hey, I'm fully engulfed in fire, but I'm just sitting in my rocker twiddling my thumbs. You know, no one's going to buy that. Not the Christian beside you, and certainly not the unredeemed world out there. Because you know what? They're not stupid, gang. They instinctively know whether you're the real thing or not. Sometimes they know more than you. So I'm asking you tonight, do you?